Hey everyone, we continue our read through of the New Testament, and today we are in Romans 6. Paul has just gotten done in Romans 5 laying out this incredible Adam-Christ typology, right? Where he says, as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, right? This reality that the trespasses of Adam have been superseded by the righteous obedience of Christ. And that in Christ, grace abounds all the more. And that Torah, rather than helping remove sinful nature, is only served to accentuate and focus it. For the law made known sin. It helped accentuate and serve to detail just how sinful and far removed the people were from the righteous standards of God. It could not save anyone from sin. It could merely only reveal to them the nature and degree of their sinfulness, and thus in hopes of pushing them for the need of a Savior who came in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul here turns to Romans 6, and his insistence that the increase of sin was met by the increase of grace in verse 20 of chapter 5 leads to a new question of what does that therefore mean for those who live in light of the grace they received from God in Jesus Christ. So let's look at Romans chapter 6 and see what Paul has to say. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin. Once for all, but the life he lives for God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies, to make you obey their passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but are under grace. We'll stop there and we'll cover the second half here in a second. So great was Paul's emphasis on the freeness of God's grace in the face of sin that his preaching was often accused of antinomian tendencies, that Paul was against the law, that he caused people to reject the law of God or to reject the ethical standards and requirements laid out for God's people. Now, he makes the point that to continue in sin would actually involve a contradiction of the Christian's new identity in Christ. In view of this new identity, Christians are to refuse to allow sin to usurp authority in their lives, and instead are to yield the whole of life to God in the assurance that since they are under grace, not law, as the means of their salvation, sin is no longer their master. And their radical union with Christ that they now have has made them dead to that sin, dead to the old ways, dead to the old life, and now fully alive in Jesus Christ. This great reality that they have been united with Christ as opposed to Adam, where death reigned, where sin was abundant, for they have been united to Christ by faith and received the righteousness he gives, means that they have been brought out of the old humanity under Adam and brought into the new humanity. And baptism is symbolic of a Red Sea passing, right? A passing, crossing through the Red Sea from Egypt into the wilderness, right? And when they were set into the wilderness, it was so that they could go and worship God properly. They might live faithfully to God in the midst of the wilderness as they've been called out of slavery. And the same is true with Christ. We were called out of the slavery of sin. And our baptism is simply a powerful symbol, a sign and seal of the new covenant that we have been taken from the old and by grace brought into the wilderness, out away from the world we once lived in, where we were at war with God, out of that old humanity. We have been united with Christ in his death and raised with him to life. And this union is what guarantees and stands as the pure evidence that we are not to continue living in sin. But it wasn't law keeping that brought us through the Red Sea. It wasn't law keep us that brought us out of slavery. It was Jesus who did that. And our obedience and our desire to make war against sin is not in an effort to try and be saved, but the evidence that we already are, that we're already united with Christ. We are dead to sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. Why? Because Christ, our King, has defeated it. And we are not under law as a means of righteousness. We are under grace. But that grace, through the regeneration, through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, has written the law of God on our hearts, and we can now live out what God has written within. We now do obedience not out of a sense of duty for salvation, but out of a delight for our Savior. Right? And so we are not to surrender our members to unrighteousness, because our old ways have died and been buried, and we have raised as brand new creatures in Christ Jesus. And so Paul continues in verse 15, "What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." All right, so in these verses, Paul is saying that the Christian is not under law, but under grace. And that might appear to be providing license for moral carelessness. But Paul denies that outright. Since under the reign of grace, Christians have become slaves of God. While the individual is active in conversion, it is in a non-contributory and non-meritorious way, right? Christians, all of our freedom, all of that comes directly from God. And God cast off our shackles. He throws them off so that we can now freely serve him. The reason God took Israel out of Egypt was because in their slavery, they were not able to worship him rightly and properly. They were not able to worship him in freedom and joy. And God takes them out of slavery that they might be able to have restored and full worship with him, that they might serve him fully. And that is exactly what's happened with us. We were unable to worship him, unable to obey him, unable to know him and serve him. And he threw off the slavery of sin. He cast off the shackles of slavery that we were under, carried us into the wilderness where we are now able to worship him in faithful love and obedience and to serve him rightly. This obedience and service is not, once again, as a means to gain salvation. It flows from a delight that we've already been saved in and through Christ Jesus. Here, Paul continues to lay out this great reality that Christ has redeemed us. He has carried us out of being slaves to a sinful nature. It is the grace of God that has made all of this possible. Nothing we have earned, nothing we have merited, nothing we could do. The only thing we contributed to our salvation was the sin which made it necessary. The opposite of slavery to sin is commitment to the new lifestyle that grace produces. And this is the great reality. This is what it means that we have been set free. Paul in verse 19 says, I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. In other words, the illustration of slavery that he's using is an inadequate representation of the Christian life, especially in the Roman context, because it could convey harsh connotations of human slavery and inadequately express the truth that the yoke of Christ that we've been placed under is easy and his burden is light. I mean, this 1 John 5, right? His commands are not burdensome. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. And so this is an unburdensome obedience. Paul is using a very inadequate illustration in slavery, but that's just the best thing that he has at that moment to try and grasp the readers the understanding that they have been pulled from a slavery of sin to now a slavery in Christ, a slavery of God. But this slavery is an unburdensome obedience, a delightful duty that flows from those who get to serve the Lord. All right, and so then I love verse 23 with this great passage. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. Know the difference, right? Wages, sin, death. Next with gift, God, and eternal life. This is an amazing contrast. The wages of sin, what you earn, what you have earned through your works is nothing but death. What you have earned in your life is nothing but death. It's nothing but wrath. But the gift, that which you didn't deserve, that which you didn't earn, that which came not from yourself, which was what sin came from, but this comes from God. The gift of God, a free gift, is eternal life. So what we earn is death. And what God freely gives in Christ Jesus is eternal life. And the only thing you can do is receive it. Receive it by faith. This is the glory and the beauty of what it means to have been united with Christ. We are now slaves to righteousness, slaves to God, who serve him in unburdensomed obedience. Not out of a need or a burden to be saved, to try and earn anything. The only thing we could earn is death, Paul says. The wages of sin is death. But God, in his unbelievable and amazing graciousness, has given a free gift in his Son, Jesus Christ, the gift of eternal life for all who receive him by faith. And when you receive him by faith, you become united to Him. And if you're united to Him, your life will reflect it in faithful obedience, in love, in living for the glory of God, not going back to the things that once caused you shame, Paul says. For the end of those things is death. Brothers and sisters, if you're in Jesus Christ, you have life. You have freedom. But that freedom is not freedom to sin. It's freedom to serve. That's Galatians 5:13. So today, take the freedom you have in Christ and go live for His glory. Make much of your King today, who you are buried with and raised with to eternal life, forever united to Him. But if you're united to Him, you'll look like Him. Is that true for you today? If it's not, conform yourself to the glories of Christ, the one who you've been united to by grace through faith in Him, and live for Him unashamedly and unburdened the rest of your life in the glories and freedoms and fruit and hope and joy and life that's found in Him alone. We have been united with Him. Therefore, we are dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. So go live for the first time ever for the fullness of the glory of the God who saved you.